Did you know that kinky wellness is integral to your self-development? Hi, welcome to The Partition, home of kinky wellness, the ultimate destination to explore the integral connection between kinky wellness and your personal development. I'm your host and kinky wellness coach, Dana Shergill, and I'm here to show why kinky sexual wellness deserves a rightful spot within the wellness conversation. Don't forget to join me each Monday as I bring on a special guest to dive into specific aspects of kinky wellness. So let's strip away the shame and taboo together and have an open conversation about it. Hey, and welcome back to another episode of the Partition Podcast. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about a case study and a few other points that I learned from a book called Trauma and Memory by Dr. Peter Levine. Dr. Levine is world-renowned and holds doctorates in both medical biophysics and psychology, and he is the developer of something called somatic experiencing. And somatic experiencing is a body awareness approach to healing trauma. Dr. Levine also holds a best-selling book called Waking the Tiger, Healing Trauma, which came out before this book. And in 2010, he received the Lifetime Achievement Award from the United States Association for Body Psychotherapy. So a little about the book is that it challenges if we can trust our memory and really goes into the different types of memory, how memory is constructed, and how influential memories are on our present lives. And to be honest, before reading this book, I had no idea how expansive memory can be, and I will certainly be looping back to this and the different types of memory once I learn more about them. But for today, let's get started. Did you know that our bodies can hold on to memories as early as the second trimester? The second trimester. Yeah, you heard me. I don't know. I was shocked when I first read that. But I think it's safe to say that for most of us, we don't remember what it's like to be inside of our mother's bellies. But clearly, science shows our bodies certainly remember. This means, for example, if a mother is being put under constant stress or is subjected to high levels of stress while that baby is being developed, then that baby's body is going to remember that stress, right? It's going to be affected, which can lead them to being born with higher levels of anxiety just right off the bat. Boom, there you go, you got anxiety. Which is why it's definitely important to keep pregnant women as stress-free as possible. And since we can remember, or at least some parts of our body can remember, the things that have happened to us in the second trimester, you better believe that our body can hold on to anything that has happened to us since birth. Which leads me to the case study that I want to talk to you about, which is about a little baby boy named Jack. The backstory behind Jack is that he was born in a very traumatic C-section birth. Right before Jack was born, he ended up in a breech position with the umbilical cord wrapped around his neck 3 times, and his head was caught high in the appendix of his mother's uterus. So in order for Jack to be born, an emergency C-section had to be performed. And as Dr. Levine writes, Jack's arrival into the world was accompanied by multiple clinicians poking and prodding at him, playing their trade with the necessary needle sticks, IV insertions, aggressive examinations, and rush interventions. And because of this traumatic birthing experience, Jack developed a condition of intermittent gastric reflexes by the age of 14 months, as well as being extremely disconnected from his mother. Meaning Jack rarely wanted to cuddle or be close to her, and Jack's mother was looking for a less invasive way to address these issues, which is when she found Dr. Levine. Now, on a side note here, contrary to popular belief, getting gastric reflux is not just limited to the spicy food someone can eat. According to the National Institute of Health, gastric reflux can also be caused by emotional instability. So this can include depression, stress, anxiety, all of which this baby clearly went through. Now, how Jack's treatment was set up was Jack was placed in his mother's lap, and Dr. Levine would speak to Jack as if he understood what Dr. Levine was saying. And although Dr. Levine states that it's unlikely that Jack understood the meaning of his words, Dr. Levine does believe that communicating this way conveyed more things than just words itself, and that it was a reflection of Jack's distress and more like a, hey, like, I got you. It's good. Here I am, here for you. You know, those guys must have really bothered you at the hospital, stuff like that, right? So anyways, as Jack was sitting on his mother's lap, Dr. Levine would make eye contact with the baby and, you know, would start to poke at him and start to interfere on his space and kind of like push on him. And that's when he was trying to represent all the people that had poked and prodded at Jack during his birth. And as Dr. Levine was recreating a scenario of these unwanted touches, Dr. Levine was also providing a space for Jack to push back against him, for Jack to take control of the situation, to allow his emotions to bubble up, even at 14 months, right? Like every single one of us do not want to feel like a victim. And that starts like when we're born, we don't want to be like this. And this proves it from a 14-month-year-old baby. And, you know, as the treatment went on, it eventually did lead to a point where baby Jack did succeed in what would be his, quote, birth push, I guess is what they said in the book, which is really a combination of him using his legs to also kind of push out. So he was using his legs on his mother's lap to kind of jump up and down. And that was to kind of stimulate what the body would have done had Jack not had a C-section in the first place. Ultimately, after Dr. Levine helps Jack succeed in overcoming that traumatic experience, not only does the gastric reflex go away, but baby Jack develops a new molding impulse with his mother, which he didn't have before. And so for context, molding is that close physical nesting of an infant's body into the shoulder, chest, and face of its mother. And really, it's the basic component of bonding between a baby and a mother. But unfortunately, for some C-section babies, this natural process gets interrupted, which is something I did not know until reading this book. And honestly, the more I hear about C-sections, whether it's on the side of the mother or the side of the baby, there are just so many hidden side effects and, you know, consequences that people are not advised about. For instance, another thing I found interesting about Dr. Levine's insight on C-section babies is that he said that C-section babies, or at least the ones that he observed, often had a lack of power when they first tried to stand as toddlers. And this book was written in 2015. So, you know, flash forward to 2024, and there's more C-sections being done than ever before. And after reading this book, do I think C-sections have an influence on our disconnect as a general population out here in the West? Yeah, I think C-sections, you know, they're not the whole picture here, but everything has a cause and effect, whether we like it or not, right? Everything in life has an effect, whether it's positive or negative. And in reality, C-sections are not the natural way to deliver babies, so it shouldn't be a surprise to hear that some people experience adverse effects. But of course, I understand that C-sections are necessary under emergencies, but I guess my point here is that we don't even teach women how to properly deliver babies, you know, which is definitely not on your back, and we aren't taught how to properly prep our bodies or how to ensure no tearing or the importance of delayed cord clamping. You know, we don't teach any of these things. And, you know, I can save this for another topic if you guys want me to open that up. But there's also a massive financial gain. Like, I mean, massive financial gain when doctors perform C-sections. You know, people can get paid, or, you know, I've heard of stories, and even on looking online, like, women will say that they'll get a C-section and it's because their doctor wanted to go on vacation. And, you know, maybe someone's rolling their eyes right now, but I really don't think a lot of doctors really care about this type of research because, you know, we're all human. And at the end of the day, there's just some people that want to get paid and go home to their families. And, you know, in my opinion, this is just another case of, like, you know, certain medical branches. You know, it's very clear that within certain medical branches that there are financial gains that come well before the well-being of the human that they're supposed to be helping. So yeah, I don't know. That's my little rant there on C-sections. I just feel like we are not aware. And this all kind of started after that rabbit hole I went down when Mark was on the show for the vagus nerve. So yeah, anyways, moving on. This case, you know, also demonstrated other things. It demonstrated, you know, that although it is often assumed that when there's a disconnect between a baby and a mother, that there must be some failure on the part of the mother and that maybe she didn't provide the, quote, good enough environment for her baby to bond with. But clearly this isn't the case. And, you know, it sucks. I think that sucks that women aren't aware of this because, you know, there are ways to, you know, reconnect with your baby if you do have a C-section. But you know what else this case study showed? That no matter how old you are, that no matter what traumatic experience you've gone through, if you build a scenario where you allow your body to go back to that traumatic experience and re-script it with triumph and a sense of ownership, then you will be able to heal from it and ultimately move past it. And that's what we want, right? And quite frankly, kinky wellness has the same elements of somatic experiencing. Both include, you know, imagination, like this broad approach that combines mindful awareness. Both include physical movements, you know, to help people reclaim their sense of body-mind balance. Both include ways to open up the senses so people can access deeper levels of healing and insight. Both help people to transform stuck emotions into energy that can be used for growth. And both ways of healing can help with shadow work. And certainly both ways can help someone rewrite their story. Also, one of the sections of the book was something called renegotiation. And as per the book, renegotiation is the means of resolving traumatic memories through the gentle release of chronic emotions and the creative reconstruction of dysfunctional responses. Both of these you can do within kinky wellness. So yes, I strongly believe that many of Dr. Levine's concept in somatic experiencing definitely intersect with kinky wellness. And kinky wellness should be treated as a legitimate form of body-based therapy. And like, listen, even if you decide that sexual healing isn't the route you want to take, it doesn't mean that sexual healing doesn't exist, right? Sexual healing does exist. Just because you don't want to partake or someone doesn't partake, it's still there. We can't just pretend it doesn't exist. But here's another thing I learned, right? You know, moving on. Okay, this one was kind of cool. Did you know that generational trauma gets passed down significantly stronger through the male line? Yeah, so yeah, I guess it's, you know, go ahead and blame your dad. No, I'm just joking. But seriously, there is a study out there that shows that generational trauma can be passed down up to 5 generations through the male line. And even without the study, Dr. Levine shares light on how several Native American tribes say that the suffering of the father is carried forward for 4 generations. And he said that other nations and tribes say that generational trauma can get passed down for up to 7 years. Oof. Yeah, that burns. But yeah, I don't know. I learned a lot from this book. Overall, I absolutely loved it. I love Dr. Levine. I love his work on how our body and minds are way more connected than we think. And he also, you know, shows just how disconnected we can be too, right? So yeah, I highly encourage anyone and everyone to read or listen or watch some of his studies or the work on the body, because, you know, we've all been affected by trauma at some point. And he is a really great resource at helping us heal through whatever it is we're going through. So yeah, as for the book, I will leave the Amazon link in the description in case you're interested in checking it out. But as for this episode, I hope it gave you clarity that, you know, no matter what, at the end of the day, unless you allow your body and not just your mind to rewrite any of your troubles that are haunting you, you will always be left with those ghosts just roaming around inside of you. And that in many cases, it's not enough to simply talk about them. You need to finish what got started, even if what got started wasn't your fault, or maybe you didn't want it in the first place, or maybe the trauma was necessary, like in Jack's case. But remember, no matter how that trauma got there, it's our responsibility to do what we need to do to heal from it. But as for Monday, we are bringing on a podcast guest favorite, which is Lala Loves from Lala's Bedtime Tales. And this time, Lala and I are going to be discussing our review for the smutty book Bride by Allie Hazelwood. Honestly, guys, this book was so much better than the last book that we did. So, yeah, make sure to come check it out on Monday. I cannot wait to gush about it. I just love this book. I don't know what it's about. I'm a forever fan. But anyways, yeah, that's it for me. I hope you guys have a fabulous rest of your week. You guys know what to do. As always, stay kinky.